Morning, we introduced a series that we are going to be looking at on Sundays here at Grace Community. I have titled the series, The Seven Significant Signs of the Savior. And the series will take a look at the seven miracles performed by our Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel. This morning we began looking at the first of these seven miracles, namely the miracle of turning water into wine. And as we began looking at this miracle this morning, I alluded to the fact that all of these seven miracles, or signs as John calls them, they have a purpose to them. In fact, in John chapter number 20, verses 30 and 31, John recorded for us, he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book." So again, we are reminded that there were many other signs that Jesus performed, but John did not record those for us. But John says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life through his name." So that's clear. This tells us that he selected these seven signs, a miracle specifically for the ability to help us believe that Jesus is who he claims to be, that by believing we may have eternal life. Hence the reason we're going to take off and be looking at the first of these seven miracles, water being turned into wine. Lord willing, the next few weeks, subsequent to our time tonight, we're going to be looking at the healing of the official son, the healing at the pool of Bethsaida, feeding of the 5,000, the walking on the water, the healing of the man born blind, and of course the raising of Lazarus. These are the seven signs that John documented for us in his gospel. Now this passage that we are looking at tonight, that we started this morning, John chapter number 2, as I said this morning, it could be somewhat controversial. It need not be controversial, because in this passage, it is so misused here. Because here we see the very first of the miracles performed by Jesus Christ. John 2 tells us, it says, "On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servant, Whatsoever he said unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 foreskins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made into wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. And it tells us this beginning, the miracles or the signs that Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifests his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So again, here is a passage of scripture that is oftentimes misused. There are those who would read this passage of scripture and they get excited, although they don't come to church, they don't love church. But they see something that they can identify with, in that Jesus turned water into wine. So this must be something good. It kind of justified their lifestyle. So they would say, well, here, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Because Jesus got the party started. Jesus created it. This morning I give you a quick history behind wine in the Bible times as opposed to wine today. Just by way of recap, just want to mention to you again, wine as used in Bible time is not the same what we have today. The process of fermentation is significantly different to distillation what we have today. In terms of back then, about 14%. That's the highest alcoholic content you could have gotten with the process back in Bible time. Today, it's through the roof. Our very own Sunset is 84.5% alcoholic content. So understand what we have today and the type of alcoholic beverages that is being served today, it's well into the category of strong drinks, which the Bible condemns. It's strong drinks. Because back in Bible time, normally wine were about 2 to 6% and then it was heavily diluted. Again, wine today is different. But as I mentioned to you this morning, we should not be, this should not take us off guard, because Bible tells us again that we as mankind, when left to ourselves, mankind has been turned over to a reprobate mind. When God has removed his hand of restriction on man, mankind would be inventors of evil things. That's exactly where we are today as a society. We have invented evil things. And alcohol falls into that category. But again, for those who would celebrate the fact that Jesus turned water into wine, the fact that Jesus created something that people could abuse should not surprise us. Amen? Amen? That should not surprise us. Because that's exactly what we are good at. We are good at doing that kind of stuff. Distorting what God has meant for good. That's what we are good at. But tonight I want to move on, I want to push on from where we left off this morning. Because I want to go back to the text in verses 9 and 10. So after the water was turned to wine, notice something here, verse number 9. It says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast call the bridegroom. So again, something stupendous happened here. Because the ruler of the feast, he tasted this wine and he said, wow, this is amazing. Send me the bridegroom. That's the man in charge. That's the guy who's getting married. That's the one who paid the bills for everything. So he's astonished about this. And look at verse number 10. It says, and he said unto the bridegroom, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. I don't know about you, but you know, oftentimes you go to a wedding and the first piece of cake that you eat tastes so good. That chocolate feels so good in your mouth. And that first plate of food that you're just tasting everything, you know, it's almost like a party in your mouth. It tastes so good, but you try eating that whole time. And after a while, you get to the last, you know, three or four places down the road, it probably doesn't feel all that, you know. But the first slice always, you know. But what he's saying here is that, listen, we have in our culture, you know, you bring out the best first. Okay? You bring out the best first. He says, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, but when men have well drunk, because, you know, again, you wait till some people drunk to give them certain things. When they're drunk, you don't know the difference. You understand? He says, but when men have well drunk, you understand, if they've had enough, if consumed so much, then that which is worse, he says, is brought out, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now the water pots were filled, and it was tasted, it was not wine. Jesus has miraculously transformed those water pots into wine. And notice, folks, not just any wine, but the best quality wine, which was always served first. That's exactly what happened. So much so that the bridegroom now is being accused of, you kept the best for last. That's what's going on. So then you ask yourself, okay, we get that. What was the purpose of this Jesus? Many biblical scholars and commentators have all had their say on this. Good men see different reasons here. Some claim that this miracle of water to wine is symbolic of the fact that God has saved the best, in that Christ until last. So Christ has finally arrived to satisfy man's deepest need. Some claim that. There are some truth to that. Some others claim that this shows a change from the old way of Judaism to the new way of Christianity, from the old water of law to the new wine of the gospel. Others see a fulfillment of the messianic age prophesied by Isaiah is produced through the symbol of this marriage here as well. Still, there are others who would say it's new wine replaced old water. The new birth replaced the old birth. Now, there might be some element of truth to all of those statements that I just read there. But personally, I see a bigger purpose at work here that John had earlier alluded to, and it is very much important to the modus operandi of our God. Now, bear with me as I explain this. Now, we are given a book called the Bible. 66 books, 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years. But I noticed something that in Genesis chapter number 1, when God got ready to put this book together, so to speak, in Genesis 1:1, the very first verse says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, I noticed something, folks. This is how God introduced himself. God didn't give any introduction in terms of, "I am God, I was always around, and you need to love me." And God didn't get into all that weeds with us. It simply states, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Notice something. This is how God introduced himself. Folks, even more, even before that, God tells us, when you read scripture, progressive revelation, even before God tells us that he is the Redeemer, even before God tells us that he's the sustainer, God wants all to know that he's the creator. That's the very first thing that is it is so important to God. When God comes on the scene, God first introduces himself as the creator God. In the beginning, God created. Genesis 1:1 is the first verse of scripture, the first verse that puts distance between God and man. This verse presents to us an omnipotent, all-powerful God. The God who created, he did not discover, he didn't develop anything. He created. Now he has sent his son into this world. Now God has sent his son into this world. And John is also tasked. The Holy Spirit has given him the opportunity here to write this book, the Gospel of John. And look at how John now is getting ready to introduce Christ. Go back to John chapter number 1. And let's look at these first three verses. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Look at verse number 3 now. Watch this. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Now, folks, you got to see the similarity here between Genesis 1:1, when God introduces himself from the very get-go, and John 1:3. Here is John is introducing Jesus Christ. He is now, this is the incarnation he's talking about. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son finally came down to earth. And John now, in introducing us, he says, he created everything. He says all things were created by him. In introducing Christ to his reader, John first mentioned, yes, that Jesus is God. Then to prove his point, he mentioned that Christ created everything. But this was merely a declaration. This was merely a declaration that, folks, listen, God has God has come down, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, He is here with us. And I want you to know that He is also the Creator God. Amen. He's making a connection here. Listen, the first time God knocks on your door, God wants you to know that He is the Creator. Amen. The first thing He wants you to know, I created you and everything around you. Now, here's the connection. His first public appearance, His first public miracle is going to demonstrate this. The point of this narrative, the point of this miracle is not just merely to prove the deity of Christ, but also to prove that Jesus Christ is the Creator God. Don't miss that. Jesus Christ is the Creator God. He has the power to create. No wonder He can take water and make it into wine. Because He is the Creator God. So like water to wine, only God, don't miss it, only God can create something out of nothing. Only God. No fermentation, no distillation needed, because God has arrived on the scene. And to present Himself to you and to me, God always presents Himself first as the Creator God. And the first thing He didn't do, He didn't heal somebody. He could have healed somebody as His first miracle, but He chose to create something out of nothing. Listen, don't miss it. Jesus creates, and when He does, He creates the best. No wonder they were astonished. Jesus creates, and when He creates the best. The head waiter was astonished. When he tasted the wine, the superiority, the wine was so superior. He says, "Where did you get this stuff? You holding out on us." But wine, as used in Scripture, is symbolic also of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of joy. In fact, one rabbi used to say all the time, without wine, there is no joy. But Jesus creates joy, and Jesus creates the best of joy. That's the point. Jesus creates, and when He does, He creates the best. And when He creates the best of joy. Jesus Christ is the Creator who transformed things from one condition to another. Hence the reason for this particular sign. Again, when you think of the word sign, it has a deeper meaning. It's pointing to something deeper. So the Creator God is here. And He can take water and make it into wine. Because the Creator God. When God knocks on your door, the first thing God wants us to know that I am the Creator God. I create things. No wonder now, folks, let me bring this home. No wonder you understand that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17, it states that therefore if any man is in Christ, what? He's a what? He's a new creation. That's what God does. 2 Corinthians 5:17 makes it clear. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the first thing God does with your life and my life is to make a new creation. Because He's in the business of making all things new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's amazing that God will talk this sign. God will talk this miracle right here. So that the junks would pay attention. But they miss it. The Creator God is here. Folks, understand. God makes, behold, He says, I make all things new. I make all things new. Anyone can put on a new suit of clothes on a man. Anyone can do that. But only God could put a new man in a suit of clothes. Only God can do that. That's why He says, behold, I make all things new. All things are passed away and have become new things. This is exactly what we see here with this first miracle of water being turned to wine. The Creator has arrived on the scene. I'm here to create things. I'm here to transform things. I'm here to move things from one form to the other. I have made all things have passed away and they have become new things. That's the point. when he introduces himself, he came on the scene and the first thing he did was an act of creation, transforming, because that's exactly going to be the nature of his ministry. Folks, you and I are here tonight, those of us who are saved, we have all experienced the transforming power of the gospel. Like old water, God has transformed us into new wine. So there is fullness of joy now in our life because of Jesus. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus came to do. The gospel changes everything. He makes all things new. No wonder now we can sing that song, I am a new creation. I am a brand new man. All things are passed away. I am born again. This is the work of Christ on our behalf. Water to wine. Creation. You and I were created again. Folks, it's amazing when you ponder this. Although God created man without man's help, he will not save man without man's consent, by the way. Yeah, God created man without man's help, but he would not save man without man's consent. That's just the way it is, folks. But he came to make all things new. In fact, Paul alluded to this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. First Corinthians 6, I'm going to be short tonight because I, you know, when you bring truths like this, you can't talk too long. People are going to forget. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, or stop being deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And here we go, verse number 11. You could underline this in your Bibles. And such were some of you. But something happened. Paul says, and such were some of you. So maybe in that church at Corinth, you had a thief. You had a guy, he was once a thief, but he's now a treasurer. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, you had a guy maybe in that church at Corinth. He was once a drunkard, but he's now an usher. Paul is reminding them of where they came from. He said, but such were some of you. But then he said, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Because why? They are a new creation now. They are being transformed. They are a new creation now, folks. That's exactly what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to create new people, give us a new heart. It's exactly why he is the creator God. He's the only one that can take a drunkard and make him an usher. Take a murderer and make him a pastor. That's what God does. Because God is in the business of creating new things. All things are passed away. Behold, all things come new. Only God can do that. Christians are not just nice people. We are new people. Hello, somebody. You're not just nice people, but you're a new people. Because that's what Jesus does. He makes all things new. Shakespeare could take a worthless sheet of paper and write a story on it and make it worth thousands. You know what they call that? Genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth a million. You know what they call that? Capital. Uncle Sam could take gold and stamp an eagle on it and make it worth $20. They call that money. A mechanic can take material that is worth about $5 and make it worth $50. You know what they call that? Skills. Some of you say robbery. An artist can take a 50 cent piece of canvas and paint a picture on it and make it worth $1,000. You know what they call it? They call it art. But God, and only God, can take a worthless, sinful life, wash it in the blood of Jesus Christ, put his spirit in it, and make it a blessing to humanity. You know what we call that? Salvation. New creation. That's old water being turned to new wine. Joy, there's fullness of joy there. Only Jesus can do that stuff, my friends. So Jesus came and he announced his presence. He wants them to know, listen, the Creator has arrived. I can make all things new. And when I create, I always create the best. Church, this is much more than a wine story. It's much more than a wine story. This is a creation story. This is indeed a creation story. This is a gospel story. That Jesus Christ has the power to create. This is God's message to drunks, or to alcoholics, to the outcast, the downcast, to the wealthy, the well-connected, the hungry, the homeless. Anybody could identify with John chapter number 2. You ask the average guy on the street, he can tell you something that, yeah, Jesus turned water into wine. You see, God put his message there so everybody will know exactly what's going on. But we miss the point because we are good at corrupting what God wants us to have. We are so good at doing that. He didn't come to make bad good. He didn't come to justify people living the way that they want. He came to point people to the fact that the Creator is here. The one who can make all things new is here. The one who can take you in all your old self and make you a brand new person is here. I can create something new of you. That's the point. God always announces his presence as the Creator God who wants to transform people's life. Let me land this plane, verse number 11, then we're done. It says, this beginning of miracles or signs did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifests forth his glory, and the disciples believe on him. No two things here. It says here, in all this, Jesus manifests his glory. He revealed his glory in the midst of this, and the result? Being faith in him. When people saw that, again, there are some there that doubted, but his disciples believe because they saw his glory revealed. God reveal his glory so we can have faith in him. It's the same today. God constantly reveal his glory to us in so many different ways so that we can have faith in him. So they saw that, it says, and he manifests forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. There were hundreds of people at that wedding. Oh, I'm sure they loved drinking that wine. I'm sure they enjoyed it because it was the best wine they've ever tasted. But many went home that day lost. Even though Jesus announced his presence right there and then, the Creator has arrived. I can take water and make it into wine. The same thing is happening today. People are going on their merry way, living their merry lives, not stopping and pausing, thinking about how can I transform my life? How can I change my life? The Creator has arrived. The one who can transform old to new. The one who says, behold, I make all things new, came. But John told us earlier on, he says, Jesus did many other signs, but 7 are recorded here. This one that we saw tonight It's a creation story. It's about the Creator God who came, the one who came to transform, to change, to make all things new. Maybe you're here tonight and I don't know your condition spiritually. If there's any inkling tonight that you might not even be saved, I challenge you, get to know this Creator God. Because this is what he specializes in doing. Oh yes, he would love to heal that pain that you're feeling. Notice later on, you see, so as the miracle after miracle, Jesus did many different things. They all had a deeper meaning, but he started with the most important thing. What man really needs is to be made into a new creature. It's exactly what mankind really need, to be made into a new creature. And that's where he started this miracle. The Creator God, who creates everything, he came. May God now help us to get a deeper appreciation for who Jesus Christ is and how he works. This is much more than a wine story. This is a creation story. It's a gospel story. It's about the God who came and died in our place so that we just wouldn't be nice people, but we'll be new people filled with the fullness of joy. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word.